The besieged Gaza Strip has been under heavy Israeli airstrikes and artillery attacks since Monday. More than 120 Palestinians have been killed, with nearly half of them being children and women. Palestinians in the occupied West Bank, as well as in major Israeli cities, have held solidarity rallies, which, as expected, were faced with heavy-handed violence. Israeli soldiers and extremists have been brutalizing Palestinians in cities like Haifa and Lod. In this edition of The Debate, among other issues, we'll be discussing the significance of such an unprecedented event which has shaken Israel to the core. Joining us on this edition of The Debate, we have founding member of the National Democratic Assembly, Nur Odeh, joining us from Ramallah. Also from Ramallah, we have Mr. Mostafa Barghouti from the Palestine Liberation Organization Central Council. Welcome to the program. Let's start off with Ms. Odeh in Ramallah. Palestinians living inside the land occupied by Israel in 1948, they're also protesting against the Israeli acts of violence, making an ever-united front for Palestinians against the Israeli aggression. How significant can this united front be for Palestinians at this point in time?
Well, it's very significant on more than one front. On the one hand, the Israeli right and those who normalized with Israel and normalized its colonial regime wanted to delude themselves into believing that fragmenting the Palestinian people would disconnect them from one another and would sever that bond between them. It's true that Palestinians inside the land of 1948 have a different reality from Palestinians in the West Bank, including Jerusalem and Gaza, but that did not change the fact that their national identity remained the same, that they face structural violence and discrimination because they're Palestinian, and that they also feel the anger and the pain when Palestinians are brutalized and attacked, and when Jerusalem is under siege and under attack, and especially when that attack also targets Al-Aqsa Mosque. So in many ways, this is an unequivocal message that almost 100 years of dispossession and uprooting have failed, really, to erase Palestinian identity, to fragment the Palestinian people, and to allow Israel to devour the land, dispossess the people, and kind of forget about the Palestinians. Palestine is on the table, on the agenda, whether Netanyahu and his allies like it or not, and that's thanks to the Palestinian people and their perseverance across the land, all of historic Palestine.
Mostafa Barghouti in Ramallah. Let's focus on some of the issues that are taking place inside occupied Palestine. A certain level of hypocrisy exists here. The destruction and vandalizing of Palestinian businesses and property by the extremist settlers, that goes relatively unnoticed. Well, all of this looks so eerily similar to the 1938 Kristallnacht events in Nazi Germany, where Nazi rioters vandalized Jewish-owned businesses. When Nazis did it, it was horrific. Movies were made, and Jews were glorified for standing up to them. But when it happens to Palestinians, it's just not the same.
Yeah, because you have such a level of hypocrisy. I mean, when you hear the Chancellor of Germany protesting against Palestinians defending themselves, and all she talks about is the rockets falling on Israel, without mentioning the fact that we are under Israeli occupation for 54 years. And we are subjected to ethnic cleansing, which was one of the largest ethnic cleansing in modern history by Israel in 1948. And at the same time, this occupation has transformed to become one of the worst systems of apartheid, racial discriminatory system. And then look at the numbers. I mean, today Israel killed 24 Palestinians, not only in Gaza, but 10 of them are also in the West Bank. Among the 130 Palestinians killed so far, 32 are children and 17 are women. And this is happening around the clock. In the West Bank, there are no rockets. All we had is peaceful protests, and they were responded to by the Israeli army with gunshots. And 500 are also injured, and a certain number of them will probably die because of their critical situation. So this is the problem. The problem is that we are now subjected to a system not only of occupation, but also of oppression, persecution, and apartheid. And the world, which does not hold Israel responsible for the war crimes it is committing, is practicing hypocrisy. And that cannot continue. Time has come for Israel to be held accountable to the international law.
Nur Odeh, the Israeli Prime Minister is saying that we're dealing with two fronts. One is in Gaza, the other is in Israeli cities. The Israeli president also warned of civil war and more chaos. On the other hand, Palestinian unity probably is what Israel fears the most. How worried do you think at this point Israelis should be? Is this a major cause for concern for Tel Aviv?
Well, I think they should be very worried. They've built a colonial system of with racist laws that systematically discriminate against Palestinians inside 1948, allow for their brutalization, allow for their dispossession, and for their denial of their basic rights, including to development. Two of the people who died in Lid 2 days ago from rockets, they died because they're Palestinian, living in homes that were not provided with shelters, unlike homes built for Jewish Israeli citizens. So that is now out in the open and coming to haunt the Israeli system, if you will. What is happening on the streets of these towns is not only related to events in Jerusalem and in Gaza. I think things climaxed into a perfect storm, if you will, where Palestinians collectively, in all their colors of pain and suffering, if you will, kind of had a collective moment of being fed up. And they rose together, united in that anger and frustration in demanding basic rights. The Israelis can't put this under the carpet, if you will. They can't just forget about it. They can't crush it and use military tactics and subdue the population and pretend that this never happened. It is happening, and it's now out for the entire world to see that Hippocratic fallacy of Israel being the only democracy in the Middle East. Now it's out in the open. No democracy allows mobs to roam the streets and chant death to Arabs while being protected by the police. No democracy allows these mobs to go house to house looking for victims to brutalize and attack because of their nationality. So this is now an inescapable fact that Israel has to answer for, and perhaps that's why there is all that concern. They never thought they would have to face that music, if you will.
Mr. Baragwanati, that's an interesting point. Ms. Odeh just touched upon the Israeli racism and brutality is evident enough that a new report from Human Rights Watch has labeled Israel's policies towards Palestinians as apartheid. But apartheid, it needs international action. Need I not remind anyone of South Africa? So when will we see this international action? What more does the world need to see and hear?
Well, actually, the Human Rights Watch report is very important. And by the way, even an Israeli human rights organization called B'Tselem also accused Israel of practicing apartheid. And before both of them, there was a very important report by ISQA, which was not even allowed to be published by the United Nations, which indicated that Palestinians are now subjected to a system of apartheid, not only in the West Bank and Gaza and East Jerusalem, but also in Israel itself. And it is the same system of apartheid that is practiced against Palestinians in the diaspora, who are 6.5 million refugees who are not allowed to come back home. This system of apartheid is the main reason why you see today such a united Palestinian front. This is the main reason why you see people in Jaffa, Akka, the Galilee, the Negev, all the Palestinians are now joining the struggle because it's a joint struggle, because they are jointly fighting against the same system of oppression. For a while, it looked like people in 1948 areas are in solidarity with Palestinians and the occupied territories, but it's more than that now. And that means that our struggle is not only to end occupation, but our struggle is really to end apartheid in the whole of Palestine, without exception, the whole of historic Palestine. Now, what we need is not just talks and condemnations. What we need from international community is to translate international law into actions. Those who commit war crimes, those who commit the crime of apartheid and persecution, should be boycotted. And that's what we are asking for: boycott, divestment, sanctions. This is the system that worked against South African apartheid system. This is the system that managed to bring down that apartheid regime in South Africa. And that's what we need here, a combination of Palestinian popular resistance and struggle on the ground, combined with BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions against Israel. Many, many people are doing that, but at the level of people. Most governments, especially Western governments, are abstaining from using this system to punish Israel. And that's what needs to change. If they want to end the hypocrisy in the way they deal with Israel, they have to adopt BDS and tell Israel enough is enough and you will be punished for the war crimes you are committing. That's, of course, besides the very important acts of the International Right. Criminal Court, which is investigating the war crimes here.
Nouroda, Amnesty International has said that Israel must immediately halt the eviction of Palestinians from their homes in Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. So this is clearly, it's not a real estate dispute. Expelling and occupied people out of their homes in order to transfer the occupiers' population into those homes, that's a war crime under international law. Why is it still continuing?
Well, it's continuing because this colonial regime has not faced any consequence, because there are countries that are still determined to provide it with political cover, not just with economic assistance and military assistance, but with political cover in international organizations. We've seen the U.S. obstructing the convening of the Security Council. We've seen them halt and obstruct, even issuing a press statement on behalf of the members of the Security Council. And it's not just the United States. Frankly, there is an overall international failure to apply the standards that are supposed to be universal on Israel. There is an exceptionalism that Israel has been allowed to enjoy ever since its inception, whereby it can commit whatever crimes it wants to in order to entrench its colonial regime while being rewarded for that behavior, for those crimes, and protected from even verbal recrimination. That's why these acts of dispossession, I wouldn't even call them eviction. Eviction would imply that there's, you know, a different owner of those homes. Those families are the rightful owners of the homes in Sheikh Jarrah. And I'll tell you something else, and this is important for the viewers to understand. Israel has a law by which Palestinians who have deeds to their homes from which they were dispossessed in 1948, they cannot claim those homes. While Israeli settlers and settler organizations who enjoy tax-exempt statuses in the U.S. and in other countries can come and claim those homes, claim that land, even with falsified paper, and there are cases where that happened and where the courts would rule in their favor and dispossess Palestinians. So this is by no means an issue of real estate, and the exposure of that lie, of that fallacy, of the fact that these courts are but an instrument in the machine of oppression and persecution of the Palestinians, I think put Israel in a very delicate position, one that it's not used to being in the past. And that's why, despite everything and despite the attempt to reduce what's happening into a conflict and to only talk about rockets and so on and so forth, there's an overwhelming pressure internationally to focus on the real issue, which is the continued Nakba of the Palestinian people, the continued dispossession of Palestinians, their continued oppression and denial of basic rights. That's really what's at the heart of this, and that's why we keep seeing rounds and rounds of escalation. It's not one incident here or there.
Indeed.
It's an overall system that basically makes us unable to breathe if you will, if we're going to take that, borrow that phrase in this context.
Sure. Mr. Barghouti, about the international response, we can see a clear double standard, but it's not just a double standard in action. There's a double standard even when it comes to condemnations. When countries that were quick to condemn Hamas's retaliatory missile strikes, those very countries, they're silent during the forcible takeovers of homes, the brutal suppression of demonstrators, and of course, when places of worship come under assault, when Israeli forces desecrated the Al-Aqsa Mosque. How do you view this type of inconsistency?
Well, it's very clear. I mean, you have an Israeli lobby which is frightening so many politicians all over the world. But you have also strategic interest. For instance, the relationship between the United States and Israel is a relationship of alliance, strategic alliance against the interest of the peoples of the region. And that's why you see them backing up Israel, not only with military aid, as was said, and financial aid, but also also by covering up their actions politically in the Security Council and in other places. There is an ironic situation here where, for instance, Israel, which is considered a rich country, is the largest recipient of U.S. aid money worldwide. I mean, that tells you something. So, in my opinion, this situation is a reflection of injustice, a reflection of wrong policies, and it has to be, I mean, it has to be encountered with much better work with the peoples of these countries. And I'm really happy that you see very important voices inside the Democratic Party, which is the governing party now in the United States, standing up against that. People like Bernie Sanders, who was a very legitimate candidate for presidency, the left Democratic group in the party, in the Congress, like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and others, they are making a difference. And I believe we should continue to work with these people to expose what Israel is doing and also expose the unfair policy of the United States. But that also relates to other countries.
Ms. Ore, on the issue of settlements, the Israelis, they continue to flaunt international law. You just mentioned earlier that so far they've not faced any international repercussion. What if it were the other way around? If Palestinians, they chose to make settlements on land they felt was theirs, could they have continued this practice for years without any international backlash? I doubt it.
Absolutely not. And no country would dare to commit the kind of flagrant violations and spelled out war crimes the way that Israel does. No country enjoys that kind of exceptional treatment and protection internationally. Israel has been allowed to expand its colonial project to grab Palestinian land that dispossess Palestinians and replace them with Israeli settlers because it is of strategic interest, so to speak, and because it is allowed to do that without consequence due to domestic reasons and domestic petty politics in various capitals. But I would second what Dr. Mustafa said about, you know, hopeful developments and positive signs of change happening, especially in Washington with the Progressive Caucus. But we need to see more of that. We need to see more progressive forces around the world rallying and demanding of their elected representatives to better represent them, to represent what they stand for, and to apply universal standards when it comes to international law and human rights. You cannot use a different yardstick when you're dealing with Israel and still maintain the audacity of saying that you are honest or that you are a broker or even a partner in seeking peace in the region. And this region will unlikely see peace and tranquility and prosperity if Palestine continues to suffer under the wrath and under the boot of this occupation. It will continue to resist with dignity, and it will continue to oppose all of this injustice. But certainly peace would not be within reach if this double standard and this exceptionalism continues.
Mustafa Barghouti, for years, we know that with the help of Western-administered media, the Israelis, they were trying to control the narrative, try to portray the Palestinians as being terrorists and having the Israeli security being at risk. Arguably, that narrative doesn't exist anymore. Do you think that there's a clear sense of global awareness now towards the Palestinian cause?
I think, yes, there is a much better situation today than it was before. But this is a process. It's a cumulative process. I think the Israeli attacks on Gaza today and during the last few days, as well as the attacks on Palestinians in the West Bank and in Jerusalem, and the process of ethnic cleansing that Israel was planning to conduct or is practically conducting in Sheikh Jarrah against the people who have been ethnically cleansed before in 1948. I think all these things build a cumulative effect, definitely. And this changes the situation. But sure. At the same time, I must say, we need to make much more efforts to bring in to the world's knowledge and consciousness the true reality about the situation and the real narrative about what's happening here. Okay. We have a war here. We have a struggle to bring in Palestinian narrative versus the illusions of the Israeli narrative, which is spreading in many places.
Okay, thank you. We're fresh out of time for tonight's program. Allow me to thank my guest, founding member of the National Democratic Assembly, Nur Oda, joining us from Ramallah, also from the Palestine Liberation Organization Central Council. Mr. Mostafa Barghouti also speaking to us from Ramallah. And thanks to our viewers for staying with us on tonight's debate. It's good night, and see you next time.